This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org.
Hey, this is Equip with Chris Brooks, and obviously this voice is not the voice of Chris Brooks. He has those svelte tones that I don't necessarily emulate, but my name's Ed Stetzer. I am filling in for Chris. I fill in occasionally for Chris. I'm the executive director of the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. I serve at Wheaton as a dean and a professor. And for today, I am your guest host. Not only my guest host, I'm at a guest studio. Can we call it that? Is it a guest studio? Okay. I'm at Moody Radio South Florida, down here for some meetings. And the amazing team here at Moody Radio South Florida, they always do a great job in hosting us and welcoming us. And so we're so thankful to be here. As you know, we have Moody Radio stations like Moody Radio South Florida. We have partners and affiliates. And so we're on a whole lot of different stations and outlets here on Equipped with Chris Brooks. And so happy to be able to come to you and continue these kinds of conversations that help you to be equipped in living the daily moments in the journey of our lives. And today we're going to have a guest today who's going to help us to think about parenting, which I don't know about you, but as the father of three daughters, I need parenting advice often, and I need good advice frequently. And actually, one of the privileges I have today is to bring to you somebody that I've had the privilege of actually kind of seeing and observing their own journey in parenting. And so we're going to talk with, in just a moment, Kristen Scroggins. And Jimmy and Kristen Scroggins have co-written a book called Full Circle Parenting, A Guide for Crucial Conversations. And we're excited about having a conversation because the reality is, as a matter of fact, this might be something you might want to text a friend and say, you want to turn this on because these are challenging times to be a parent. I guess people could say that it's always challenging times, but these seem particularly so. And so how do we think about this moment, and how do we think about parenting here? And what crucial conversations would we need to have? So Kristen and her husband Jimmy have been married for 26 years. They have 8 children. They've served at Family Church since Jimmy became the lead pastor in 2008. Kristen is a gifted Bible teacher and speaker, frequent mentor to young moms. She's passionate to help women in ministry, especially the wives of pastors, thrive in their marriages and in their parenting. She can be heard on the Mom Village podcast at familychurchnetwork.com. Again, that's familychurchnetwork.com. And as always, if you go to the Equip site, you can also find all of that information linked there as well. Well, parenting isn't for wimps. That's on the back of your book, Kristen. Parenting yes. isn't for wimps. So thanks for coming in and telling us that this is going to be a challenging experience, isn't it? I can tell already.
It is. Parenting is not for wimps. And if you've done it for a day, you know that's true.
Yeah, for sure. And they don't come with an instruction manual. None of those things are true. And you've had lots of these crucial conversations. I love the title of your book. Again, it's Full Circle Parenting. Why focus in and around conversations? A lot of these things focus on, I mean, a book I read about strong-willed kids, or a book, you know, read about the best kind of parenting. But this is a lot focused on conversations. Where does that all fit in?
It is, Ed. And, you know, when you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, one of the first things that you notice in there is that God tells us how to the importance of having these conversations with our children. So he says, as you walk in the way, as you lay down at night, you tell them about me, about my laws and about my precepts. And so a lot of parenting is wrapped up in conversation after conversation that we have about things going on in the world around them. But mainly we're wanting to filter all those conversations through God's design and his purposes for our children.
Fascinating. I love that. And conversations with children aren't always easy. It was, for some reason, I was looking through pictures of my kids when they were little. We were talking just before the show that my youngest daughter goes off to college this fall. Mm-hmm. And so the way they have conversations has changed. Their willingness to engage conversation shifts and you know, grows at times. And sometimes you got to kind of pull it out of them. So, I mean, why then this? I mean, you wrote this book. Why did you write it? And what is the need that maybe you're trying to fill in this book?
So we figured out through Jimmy, you know, having been in ministry for so many years and us doing that together, that when you have 8 children, people think that you automatically know how to raise them. And mm-hmm. so we do get a lot of parenting questions. And I think right now, especially, parents just feel very off kilter because society norms and roles have changed so dramatically. And so even though a lot of these parents who are Christian parents, they don't feel confident in the truth of God and what that means for their family. And so we wrote really the book, Ed, that we would want our children to read.
That's good.
And what we were hoping to encourage our own church family to read about parenting. And so that's really where this came from. Mm-hmm. And so anybody else outside of that sphere that is encouraged by that, we count that an extra blessing.
Nice. Okay. So sometimes their conversations are easy.
Yeah.
And I love the easy conversations. You know, those are, and again, they happen in the flow, the ebb and flow of life. Sometimes they're harder. You brought your son with you today well, too. So you have to talk about this in front of him. So what are some of the tough conversations you've had to have? What do those look like? How do you walk through them? You could name some about him. Let's give specific. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that.
No. So, yeah, Stephen, my senior in high school who's about to graduate, is with me. And we have had a lot of conversations with him and with his brothers and sisters. And honestly, some of the toughest conversations isn't really necessarily about the subject matter mm-hmm. as much as it is about you weren't prepared for that to come up. There's certain talks, the sex talk, even talks about pornography in general. Mm-hmm. You know, bitterness and forgiveness, these kinds of topics, you already know as a parent, you are going to have to talk about these things. But sometimes the timing of it is what knocks us off of our pins. And so, you know, some of the conversations that we've had have been riding in the car together, and they will just blurt out something that we weren't prepared for. But honestly, I do think in this day and age, some of the hardest conversations are about sexuality.
Sure.
And marriage and gender roles and all of these things, because we're not getting any support at home apart from our church family mm-hmm. in the way that God has designed these things to work.
Yeah, oftentimes other places, you might be the school, it might be peers, it's social media. They're actually telling a different story than the story that at home in church we're articulating and communicating. I think that's an important distinction too. Let me also mention to you for our callers as well, I know that people are going to have questions and want to kind of, how might I walk through this, or how can I have this conversation, or how to start this conversation. So I'm going to invite you to call in. Our number is 877-548-3675. Again, you know, what are the hard conversations you're struggling to have with your kids? Maybe it is about gender, sexuality, marriage, or social media, or something else. So maybe you need wisdom and a biblical framework for answering your child's questions. So give us a call, and we're going to talk to Bible teacher, pastor's wife, mom of eight, Kristen Scroggins. Again, our number is 877-548-3675. Okay, eight kids. Give me the breakdown, the ratio here, because I've got all daughters, so I don't know anything about raising sons.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. So I have six sons mm-hmm. and two daughters. Mm-hmm. My oldest son actually just got back from a 6-month deployment to the Middle East. He's an Army officer, and so he got back this morning. We're super proud of him. He's parenting my first grandson.
Oh, grandkids.
And my daughter-in-law does a great job as well. We have another married son who has our first granddaughter, and they live in Naples, he and his wife. We have now almost three college students. They all play, our boys play college football, so we're in the stands a lot during the fall. We have two high school daughters and then a middle school son.
Okay.
So we're busy.
From middle schooler to married with children
yes.
himself.
Yes.
So that's quite an age range. That's quite a span, and that's got to keep you busy. But what a blessing. You know, I mean, a lot of times people see a large family, and I don't know, I've always seen, like, so many people seem to have a negative reaction. I'm like, that's awesome. So how does that walk through for you? Is that a blessing? Is that a challenge? Is it all the above?
Oh, Ed, it is a blessing, and it has been since day one. We really didn't have a number in mind. Mm-hmm. People always ask us that. But we just love children and had a heart for that, and we were both united in that. And God blessed us with eight of our children, and we are proud of every one of them. And it is a blessing. We do get side-eyed comments, and but it's okay. We're used to it. We're veterans now. It bothered us at the beginning, but now we don't.
And the obvious question is, what is your vehicle situation?
Yeah. So when they were at home all together, we had a 12-passenger van. We looked as awful as we sound. Homeschool 12-passenger van. It was just it conjured up all kinds of images.
That sounds pretty awesome. I love that. We got the minivan, and that's as far as we got.
There you go.
Okay. So in there, you talk some about three circles and three circles and the gospel and fits in. So explain a little bit about that. Let me again remind our callers, 877-548-3675.
So the three circles, Ed, really has become known around the world as an evangelistic tool to share the gospel, and it is absolutely that. But what happened with the three circles is we actually developed this idea, sharing the gospel, because of a premarital opportunity, a counseling opportunity mm-hmm. that we had at our church. And so this really was based off of the need to help families direct their thoughts and their thinking and line their lives up with God's design. And so the three circles is simply, circle number one is God's design, and that because of sin, we enter into brokenness. And so the only way out of that brokenness is the gospel, and to repent and believe in the gospel, and that because of that, we are able to recover and pursue God's design. And so that framework is absolutely important to understand to secure our eternity. But the gospel does more than that. It transforms us, or it should transform our everyday lives. And so this framework, we wrote the book with this framework in mind because we wanted parents to have some kind of handles to grab a hold of. And so this understanding of God's design and what that means in every situation gives them a landing point to go back to when things seem so shaky in our society.
So good. God's design, brokenness, gospel, three circles. Mm-hmm. And the book itself is filled with gospel, and I love that. We're going to continue our conversation about that in just a moment. Also going to invite your calls again, maybe your questions about how to walk through those parenting moments, to walk through those parenting challenges. Again, our number is 877-548-3675. Again, that's 877-548-3675. And we're going to talk some and take your calls, too, about the challenges of parenting. How do you walk through that? In the book itself, they talk about gender, sexuality, marriage, technology, alcohol, substance abuse, bitterness, forgiveness, restoration, friendship, and mean kids. We're going to talk about that, too. I was talking to my youngest daughter about middle school. Seventh grade girls can be really, really mean.
Tough.
And so we'll talk about that as well. And again, take your calls. We're talking to Kristen Scroggins. She and Jimmy Scroggins have written a book called Full Circle Parenting, A Guide for Crucial Conversations. We're taking your calls in this conversation. Again, I'm Ed Stetzer, filling in for Chris Brooks. Call us. Let's have a conversation. 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675.
In today's society, the idea of an empowered woman involves money, sexuality, and success, while the God-given privileges of motherhood often go uncelebrated. I want to change that paradigm, which is why I've chosen Expect Something Beautiful, Finding God's Good Gifts in Motherhood, as a featured resource this month. Get one for yourself or a mother you love when you support Equip. Call 888-644-4144 or visit online at equipradio.org.
Hey, we're back. Ed Stetzer filling in for Chris Brooks here on Equip with Chris Brooks, Moody Radio Partners and Affiliates, and having a conversation that I think gets at a lot of people right where they live. It's the issue of parenting. And I will tell you that parenting has been the most challenging thing I've ever done. Also, perhaps the most rewarding thing I've ever done. It's been filled with joys, and I probably, in all the history of my adult life, I've cried about kids more than I've cried about anything else, and yet filled with rejoicing as the kids step into different levels of their own maturity and growth and more. So that's what we're talking about today. We're taking your calls as well. I want to invite you to join us in this conversation. Maybe you have a question about parenting, particularly maybe in and around how a gospel-rich approach to parenting works. Again, 877-548-3675 is our number, 877-548-3675. So let's talk a little bit about the idea of the biblical approach to parenting. With your faith and with your kids' own faith, how does that work, and how do you apply the scriptures and the gospel into that parenting approach, process, and more?
So what we want to do as parents, Ed, is from a young age instruct our children from the way of scripture, because that's really all that we have. It's not just the scripture doesn't just set out some good parameters or a good idea amongst many good ideas. It is the way, the truth, and the life for our children and for us. And so as we show them through scripture what God expects of them, again, what we talked about before was gives not just the parents a handle of something to hold on to, but it gives our children a handle to hold on to of how to navigate their lives. But one of the things that has been really important in our parenting journey is understanding that we cannot make our children have faith. Mm-hmm. We cannot make them know and love God. But one of the most powerful tools as parents that we have in our arsenal is showing our children what it looks like to have a mom and dad who actually believes the truth of God's word and who trusts his design. And when they can see that picture of mom and dad working together and living out their faith, it is a powerful story for them to see.
Yeah, I think we kind of assume, maybe rightfully so, that it's so important that children see parents who love one another, parents who are honest with their own struggles and more. But one of the things I think is rich in full circle parenting is that place that the gospel is in your own life. I want my kids to look at my life and Donna's life and our married life together and say, they're not perfect, but man, they're walking with the Lord. And that draws them to that. You know, the hypocrisy, you can't hide hypocrisy from your own kids.
No.
But at the same time, I know your husband, he's kind of not perfect. I mean, he's great. I'm sure you think he's perfect. But so how do you walk through the failures and the faults that you both would have and yet in a gospel-rich parenting environment?
Well, so, you know, sometimes parents get nervous about talking about the things of God because they either err too harshly on the law, mm-hmm. or they are worried about not showing enough grace. And so we have this tightrope that we're constantly trying to walk. But what we have to know as parents is we are to display the one true living God who is both full of law and full of grace. Mm-hmm. So we say a lot in our home, you know, we have to be great forgivers, but we have to be great and first repenters as well. And so as parents, we have to get on our face before our kids and get on our knees and look eye level with them often and tell them that we're sorry, that we made mistakes, we messed up, we have sinned, and ask for their forgiveness. And it is amazing to me how resilient children are when their parents will tell the truth about where they're coming from. And that aspect of forgiveness is super important. And whenever we extend that to our children, they tend to extend it to us mm-hmm. as well.
Okay, so let's get to some of the practical questions. I think that's where a lot of people will be. So Lynn asked this, how should we address our concerns over our daughter's choice of friendships, especially now that she's dating a non-Christian? And again, let me remind other people as well that we're going to take your calls, your questions. Again, the number to call is 877-548-3675. But what about Lynn's question? I mean, friendships, dating a non-Christian, more, how would you walk through that kind of first conversation with a daughter?
Right. So, you know, having these conversations is tricky because you don't want to push your child too hard away from you. And yet it is our job as parents to constantly put God's design in front of them. Mm-hmm. And so as we do that, then we have to pray that the Holy Spirit will do his work in our child's life. So we have this tension always of lifting up God's design and yet also always offering his redemption, always showing a way forward, because God always stays in the game with his people. And it's our job as parents to stay in the game with our kids as well. So I do not think we should ever apologize for God's design. You know, he has very clear mandates for us from Scripture about the type of person we're to marry, which would definitely instruct the type of person we're supposed to date. And so as we have those conversations with our kids, we have to stand firm in what God has told us through his word. And yet we also have to deliver that in love and unconditional love, which I think our kids are all longing for and always kind of worried that they're not going to get from us.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's part of the challenge, too, is how to know when to say, and even with Donna and I. So, Donna, I tend to be more of the rule. This is what we should do. Donna's more of the grace in the midst of that. I mean, do you and Jimmy ever have to balance some of that out? And what does that look like with two parents? And you know, we recognize there's a lot of people being raised by single parents, too, and we know and we're for you. But with two parents, how do you balance that out?
Yeah, so personality comes into play here, doesn't it? So yes, definitely it's true that we don't always are not like-minded in our thinking about an approach. But I will say that being on the same page, if you are married and have mom and dad in the home, being on the same page is super important. Our kids are very good hypocrisy detectors, mm-hmm. and they can figure out when there's a chink in the armor. And so sometimes you have to kind of fake being on the same page until you can get behind closed doors and get on the same page. But I, again, you know, it, the aspect of God's law and his grace and mercy, that is an all-encompassing part of who God is. And so to separate either one of those is really displaying something false to our kids as far as how God relates to them and what he knows is true about our children. And so that's where, okay, so having grace is not shunning God's rules and God's laws. It's being very clear about that. The most loving thing we can do for our kids is to show them by example and through scripture what God expects for them. And yet we deliver that out of love, mm-hmm. and a constant commitment to show them that we're with them and for them.
Yeah, and it seems it's tricky to do, I think, that sometimes when partly you're disappointed. I mean, as a parent, you're going to be at times disappointed. So how do you walk through that disappointment, express that disappointment, maybe try to redirect that bad decision, but at the same time show grace and love? Because it seems that, I mean, my guess is when something bad happens, it's not just, well, don't worry about it, we love you.
No.
We love you, but there's more to that. So how do you communicate in those challenging times when things have gone bad?
So some of it depends on how old our kids are, Ed.
Fair enough.
You know, we say a lot when we're talking to parents that if you have older children that are making choices, you have part of, you know, God's plan is that adults get to make adult decisions. And so if that is the case, then I would say, you know, some of that has to do with not having a conversation about it every time you're with them. For our older kids, that you spell out clearly what you think and what you believe is true about God and his word and how our children fit in with that. But then some of it, you have to step back and let them make adult mm-hmm. decisions and pray that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of them at some point, because we can't do that for them. Mm-hmm. We can't make them feel convicted. We can't make them see God's truth. And so having a loving and redemptive posture towards our kids is very important. You know, but the younger they get, the more of an opportunity you have to have those conversations. But I think what we're always trying to do as Christian parents is tell the truth and yet give our kids a soft place to land. And so just as much as we're pointing out God's design, we have to tell our kids by our posture, by our facial expressions, by our manner, and by our words, that we are for them and that we are with them and that we are cheering them on, and that we know that if they will do what God is asking them to do, they can be successful in this.
Mm-hmm. So adults make adult decisions. I really like that. I think that's super helpful. And but we're going to roll back to that, you know, maybe that ninth grader. So we're not yet at the place, but they want to make more adult decisions as well. And I want to address that example, but I'm guessing other people might have questions as well. Again, 877-548-3675 is our number, 877-548-3675. And again, I would say, too, it's probably different that, you know, when I got, Don and I got married at 20,
yeah.
and we moved to the inner city of Buffalo, New York to plant a church, you know, 12 hours away from our parents. So we were making adult decisions at 20. It seems that sometimes the adolescence has been delayed some. So I don't know. We have to figure out when that adult is. But come back to that ninth grade where they want to make adult decisions, but they're not, maybe their brain's not fully developed. They're trying to figure out these things. How much do you engage or not engage there? You've been through the ninth grade stage, what, like 5 times already, right? Am I doing the math right?
Six times
already. Okay,
all right. I'm entering it again with my 7th this year. So, you know, ninth grade, in my estimation, you still have a lot of play as mm-hmm. a parent. That ninth grader, even if they have a part-time job, they are not making any financial decisions on their own. They are sleeping at your home, eating your food.
Like till 2 o'clock on Saturday. But that's another story there. I'm a little bitter. I'm making it through that. But keep going.
So they have not as much autonomy as they feel like they have. And I think as parents, we have to be and understand that that's true. You know, we get a lot of Privacy Act questions as parents, like, you know, their child's cell phone or their room. How much privacy do you give them? And the truth is, God has given you that child in your home for about 18 years. Mm-hmm. And so you have all of these years to have these important and crucial conversations with them. And so do not, my biggest encouragement to you, mom and dad, do not delay the conversations that are necessary because you want to keep the relationship. Mm-hmm. So part of having a relationship with your ninth grader is to be having these conversations about what God expects for them. And so really, you can limit access, talk about dating.
Right.
If your ninth grader is dating, I'm using air quotes, someone that you know is not helpful to them. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of play in that, and I would use that. I would not allow them to be in a relationship as best as you can with someone that you know is not a good situation for them.
Yeah, ninth grade is a tricky time. It's a transitional time. I want to keep going back in time.
Yeah.
Continue our conversation in just a moment. Again, 877, because I'm guessing I'm not the only one whose parenting has been one of the most challenging things. Some of us are still working through parts of it. I guess you still are, too. You got still kids at that age.
Definitely.
877-548-3675 is our number. My name is Ed Stetzer, filling in for Chris Brooks. We'd love to hear from you about your parenting questions and maybe kind of you walk through some of these moments together. Again, our number is 877-548-3675. You're in Equip with Chris Brooks here on Moody Radio. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. Hey, we're back here with Equip with Chris Brooks. My name is Ed Stetzer, filling in for Chris. And we're actually having a conversation about parenting today. Let me talk about mothers and mothering for just a moment. Maybe you're feeling burned out, overwhelmed by the stress of raising your children. I want to recommend a book that'll be a breath of fresh air. In addition to what we're talking about today, of course, Full Circle Parenting. But it's called Expect Something Beautiful. And author Laura Booz delivers on the promise. Pointing mothers back to Scripture, Laura reminds you of the truly tremendous calling you have and how God doesn't leave you to do it on your own, but gives you the tools to succeed. So request a copy of this book with your gift to Equipped this month when you call 888. This is not the call-in number. This is to be a partner here with Equipped. Call 888-644-4144 or visit equippedradio.org. That's our website where you'll find the links to today's program. You'll find resources like Full Circle Parenting and more. And again, we're also taking your calls. We've got several folks lining up on the line, which is great. We're going to talk about parenting, taking your questions. The number is 877-548-3675. So we're going to get to those calls in just a minute. 877-548-3675. I guess one of the things that for me, I mean, I kind of, you know, maybe I watched too many, you know, Leave It to Beaver shows growing up. I'm old enough to remember Leave It to Beaver when they came home and everything was simple and resolved by the end of the episode. You have to be a certain age. I'll explain it to your son later. It's a famous TV show, black and white, I think. Watched it on reruns. But it's so complex. It's, you know, my kids are amazing. And then sometimes you're like, well, what are they thinking? And how do you deal with the complexity of your children and parenting and all that's related to that?
Yeah, so it's so easy to go into the fetal position as a mom or a dad when you find something shocking out about your children. You know, you may think you have raised the next missionary and they are raising their hands in church, praying and singing to Jesus and sharing their faith. And then all of a sudden you are hit out of nowhere by a besetting sin that has developed in your child. And so you sit there and you're wondering, okay, are they the child who loves Jesus and wants to be a missionary when they grow up, or are they this chronic liar? And which one are they? And the truth is, all of our children are very much made in the image of God and yet have a sin nature. You know, the Apostle Paul, Ed, talks about that in Romans 7 when he says, I really can't think of a better Christian in the history of the world than the Apostle Paul. And he says about himself, the things that I know that I should do, I don't do. Hmm. And the things that I should not do, I do them anyway. And so if that's true about the Apostle Paul, I can't be knocked off my pins when I understand that that's true about my children. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, when I know that it's true about myself too. And so this idea of complexity allows us as parents to take our children's sins seriously. And part of our job as parents, as we've talked about already, is pointing them to God's design and the truth about who they are in Him. And yet, we have to remember that they are made in the image of God and that they have His handprint on them. And so we have to keep moving them forward and always explaining how the gospel will continue to take them back and with the ability to recover and pursue God's design. And it's such a freeing thing for parents, but it's also a freeing thing for our children mm-hmm. when we can teach them that God is going to stay in the game with them and that they will repent for the things that they find creeping up in their lives that are not like him. He does not throw in the towel on him. He's going to help them recover and pursue his good things for them.
That's so great. And I love there's a whole section here on children are complex. And and you keep pointing them back to the gospel, which I think is so essential. There's not just do good. If you don't do good, you're boxing you out of our relationship. There's forgiveness. There's grace. That's there. That's so key to parenting. And yet that so often gets lost. How do we make sure we keep that gospel focus? I want you to answer that, but let me just give the number one more time because folks are calling in with questions and comments. 877-548-3675. Join us to continue this conversation with Kristen Scroggins. Full Circle Parenting is the book, A Guide to Crucial Conversations. So how do you keep that grace, gospel, forgiveness, you know, even in the midst when you're disappointed, how do you keep all that front and center?
Well, I think we have to give ourselves a parental pep talk often, and we have to be sure about how God really feels about us and what he says about us. And he loves us, and he's entered into a covenant relationship with his people. And we have to remind ourselves of the truth of that, and that our hope is not that our kids will skate through elementary, middle, and high school without committing any of the biggie sins that we may think of, but that our hope is that no matter where our kids find themselves, that God is there if they will seek him. And that's a powerful thing to hold on to because their story is not ever over as long as they're still breathing. And so whether we find our elementary child who is, taking things off the teacher's desk, or we find out that our middle school son is looking at pornography on the internet, or our high schooler is in a toxic relationship, whether it's small or big, God is in it if we will recapture his design and trust that his plans are good and right. And so part of how we keep that in mind is talking about it all of the time. And so it's not just about talking about his rules, although that's important, but talking about the beauty and the promises that he has for his people if we will do what he's told us to do.
So good, so good. And we're going to take some calls now. And I'm actually going to some of the callers, not like brilliant, insightful questions, I'm going to give away some copies of Full Circle Parenting because we've got a few copies here, A Guide for Crucial Conversations to folks who come with a call or question or a comment. Let's go first to Maya in Chicago. Maya, you're live on the air. What's your question or your comment?
Hi. Yeah, so thanks for being here. I have a four-year-old, and she and I have been having a really difficult time with a power struggle. We just moved into a new house. We are in an adjustment period, and just the most normal tasks are really starting to become a challenge, like brushing your teeth before bed. Last night, she was up till 10 o'clock. She just couldn't get calm, and, you know, we tried so many different things, stories and back rubs, bath, all, you know, the standard things you would try, and, you know, I just find that we're really just kind of batting heads, and we have been for a little while, so that's where I'm just kind of like, how do I get through this without engaging in the power struggle, and being able to be a present mom. And sorry, just a funny story, but speaking of forgiveness, yesterday I went through this. I asked her to forgive me for something, and she was like, "It's okay, Mom. I forgive you." And she goes to a Christian school, and she was like, "But, Mom, God also forgives you. I want you to know." And I was like, "Oh, this is so beautiful. It's so sweet."
That's awesome. That's awesome. And yet the same one is the one that had the power struggle and the challenge with it. So I totally get it, Maya. Thank you for your call. Hold on. I'm going to have Kristen answer, but I want to give you a copy. If you hold on, our producer will come on. We'll give you a copy of Full Circle Parenting. So Maya's question, four-year-old daughter, right? This struggle, you've been through this 8 times. What does it look like?
Maya, power struggles are real, whether it's with a four-year-old or a fourth grader or beyond. But I think what we have to keep in mind as moms especially is that that power struggle really can't become between mom and daughter or mom and son, but that we understand that we are really, the power struggle is really us battling for our children, that this that they are going to submit to God's plan and his design. And so when that child is fussing, arguing, fighting, it's really not a battle between you and the child. It's really you're battling on their behalf to point them to God's design and his structure for their lives. And so understanding that and reminding ourselves of those things helps take some of the emotion out of it when we are up at 10 at night trying to get our four-year-old to brush our teeth. It helps us stand firm in what we know is true about authority and the way that we're supposed to teach our children to fall underneath that authority. But it helps us to deliver it in love because we trust that God's plan for the family and his structure for the family is a winning plan.
So what would that look like then? So in Maya's case, so she's can't get the child to brush teeth, been there. I think I had a kid who secretly didn't brush her teeth for a long time. What that interaction look like would get to a healthy kind of gospel-centered approach to that?
Yeah, so, I mean, simple things like starting bedtime earlier if mm-hmm. you think that it's going to take you a little longer, having a routine that you go through, and it sounds like Maya's trying to do that, where, you know, reading stories, rubbing her back, having water, be prepared ahead of time. But then also there has to be a cutoff time, and there has to be consequences if the child does not do what the mom and dad want her to do. And so delivering those guidelines to this child in love and in firmness, with a lot of the emotion taken out of it, really over time, I believe they will begin to see benefits of being consistent in this area.
Good deal, Maya. Hopefully you're still holding on. Our producer's going to jump on in just a second and get you a copy of the book. Let's go to Christine in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Christine, you're live on the air. I lost you there. Christine, what's your question or your comment? Christine, don't hear you. Okay, we're going to come back to Christine in just a little bit. If we could, our call screen, to just let her know that we're going to come to her in just a second. So when you think through, like, from 4-year-old to 14-year-old, mm-hmm. there's a difference between the two in how you might address. You have power struggles with 14-year-olds.
Sure.
What is an age-appropriate way to walk through some of those things? Because when I got a 2-year-old, I say, this is just what we're going to do.
Yeah.
When I got a 20-year-old, I can't say anything like that much anymore. Yeah. So talk to me about the age appropriateness of these things.
Right. And so hopefully from a young age, you have been talking to your children about, you know, the proper authority structure, the way that God has designed family and how we fit into his design. But you're right. The methods change as they get older. The truth of God's design doesn't change, but the way we implement it and talk about it with our children does change. And so the younger they are, the less give they have, but the older that they get, they will have opportunity to revisit parents' roles and the opportunity to either agree or disagree with those roles. And so the older that they get, the less opportunity you're going to have to, I hate to use the word make them do it.
Sure, but they're a 2-year-old, you make a 2-year-old do certain things.
Yeah, there's not a negotiation going on with a 2-year-old. But at the same time, in an age-appropriate way, you are always pointing them to what is good and best for them. Mm-hmm. And then as they get older, they have to make those choices for themselves.
But I can't say because I said so, because that's my favorite answer.
No, you can. Right. You can, but they're not going to buy it.
Yeah. My dad, I still remember my dad and my mom would always say to me, because I said so. And I didn't like that, so I tried to always give the reason. But sometimes it's like, I already told you why. Now you just need to do it because this is, you know, particularly a 2-year-old, you can actually pick them up and move them. So that's convenient as well.
But, you know, Ed, I do think that as they get older, having an actual live relationship with our kids is so important because having this strong relational bridge for our kids to walk over when we have to deliver hard truth to them, if they already know my mom and dad are in my world, they love me, they're for me, and they see the powerful testimony that mom and dad have as they're walking out the truth of the gospel, those do not think that those are small things. Those are important things, and those are tools that you have as a parent to help ground your children and help them actually learn to believe mm-hmm. that you want what's best for them because this is what God wants for them.
Yeah, keep those relationships are going to be key in helping them see why you say those things really does matter. Christine in Coeur d'Alene, we're back to you. You're live on the air. Christine, go ahead with your question or your comment.
Hi. I'm a single parent. We went through a really rough marriage, and so the kids don't even see their father anymore. But I feel like I don't have, okay, so I have two teenagers, a 15-year-old, a 17-year-old, and there's hardly any respect. It just, as soon as the hormones hit, it was kind of, you know, they're adults, they can do what they want. And so that's been really hard. I try to work and, you know, take care of everything and stuff. And my church, even, like the people in the church or, you know, wherever I, you know, have, you know, things going on with the kids and stuff, it's like there's no respect, you know, for me as a single parent because there's no man in the house. And I've gone through this multiple times and the kids see it happen, which lowers their respect for me. And I've done a good job at talking to them, you know, about everything. And they're actually really good kids, but they're going through that.
Christine, I didn't turn off your call there and you went away for just a second. Let's get Christine back and continue our conversation with Christine from Coeur d'Alene in just a moment. So we'll jump back on with the line and find her. We'll continue our call in just a moment.
As a dad, a friend, and a neighbor, I share your concerns over the growing problems in our culture. That's why on Equip, we tackle the tough issues, learning how to respond with grace and truth. We're looking for like-minded partners to stand with us. Would you be willing to become an Equipper today? In this role, you'll give a monthly donation to support the ministry of Equip. And as an Equipper, you'll receive insider benefits, such as a bi-weekly email that contains pastoral messages prepared just for you. Become an Equipper today by calling 888-644-4144 or go to equipradio.org.
Hey, we're back. I think we're back. This is Ed Stetzer filling in for Chris Brooks here on Equip with Chris Brooks. Had a little technological glitch there for just a second, but hopefully we're continuing our conversation with you at this point. And so we lost Christine just a moment ago, but Christine's called back. And so, Christine, we're going to go back to you. You're live on the air. So go ahead and continue that comment or question, Christine, that you had.
Okay, yeah. I guess I'll try to wind this down.
You don't hear Christine.
Can you hear me?
Okay, so let me go back to, and we're going to try to catch with Christine in just a moment. So back to you, Kristen. We were talking some about some of the challenges of different stages and ages. Let me ask this as well. Your book helps parents who are scared how to deal with crucial conversations, how to handle them. So how do you help step through that fear as well? What's some advice you have for parents who are afraid to have those conversations?
Yeah, well, so what you have to understand is that God has made you, just by fact of being mom and dad, your child's first and primary source of biblical knowledge. So you're their first resource to his design for them. And so you have to be confident in that and your authority in that. And so as you build these relationships with your kids and as you are sure about his design for them, these conversations are not as hard as you think they are. One of the beautiful things about God's design is that it does not change, which is so polar opposite of what we see happening in our society now. Truth is very different from day to day, but not God's truth. And so as we're sure of what he has for us and we talk to our children about those things, that guides our conversation and it becomes a more natural thing to have with your children.
Good deal. We're going to try Christine again, but
okay.
We are having a little bit of a technological challenge here. So let's see if we can hear Christine. Christine, I don't think it's you. I think it's us. Christine, can you hear us? And if so, go ahead with your question or your comment.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Ken, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. So, yeah, yes. I guess my question is, as a single parent, it's really hard. And I do leave my kids. We read the Bible and pray together and everything. And I've kept them in private school and led them in the Lord. And I just feel like in this, you know, time where the kids have, you know, gotten into high school and have hit puberty and everything, they kind of want to be their own, you know, adult. And so it's been a struggle. And then with, you know, other adults and stuff, it's almost as if they don't see us as a real family, like a husband-wife thing. And so I feel like I'm disrespected in my parenting, as in people addressing me with things because there's no man in the home.
Wow.
Yeah, so I just want to know how to kind of, deal with that.
No, I think it's a great question, Christine. And let me just tell you, as someone who is raised in part by a single mom, I actually saw similarly there because it didn't fit the – you know, the perfect family. I mean, she's a single mom. And let me just say, Christine, you are just a champ. And I'm so thankful for single moms like my mom, who's a hero to me. So how do you, I mean, again, you guys are serving at Family Church. The name Family Church speaks to family, but there's step families and there's single parent families. And how do you seek to build, because she's not seeing that respect, feeling that respect at church, and maybe not that support. How can churches respond and react? And what advice would you give to Christine?
Christine, I do just want to agree with what Ed said. My sister is a single mom, and man, she's one of my heroes because she was literally doing it alone. And she raised two great kids who love her and who are hard workers. And so I have a special place in my heart for single moms. It's not a road that I have had to walk, but I get it. And we have so many single parents in our church, and one of the things that we really do try to encourage them is that they are not alone. And so your church family really should be joining you and circling the wagons with you and linking arms with you. And so I would encourage you just to pray that God would allow you to be united with some people at church who want to do that with you, because it's hard to do that alone. And, you know, we're made to be in community. And so I do want to encourage you in one thing, in a different part of what you said, apart from the church part, is just it is so normal for 15 and 17-year-olds to start to pull away from their mom and think that they know their own way. And so you just keep doing what you're doing. You mentioned that you are reading the Bible with them and taking them to church and building relationship with them. You keep being a consistent mom that shows them what it looks like to know and love God. And I am almost certain that they will come back around to you one day. We have experienced the pull and the tug, and yet they will come back to people who they know love them, and that's you, Mom.
Yeah, what a great closing comment, too. So appreciate Kristen Scroggins joining us on the program today. The book. Oh, Christine, I want you to stay on the line, too. Our producer is going to give you a copy of the book. It's Full Circle Parenting, A Guide for Crucial Conversations. My apologies for the technological glitches here, but our team worked to make the magic happen, so we're able to finish the show strong. Thanks to the team here at Moody Radio South Florida, and as always for the team, Chris Papendick and Deb Solomon, and our call team there at Moody Radio Chicago. Moody Radio is a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. What do you think of Jesus? He'll be the most important thing about you, the most important thing to share with others. So this is Ed Stetzer. Coming up on Equip, we're going to present a new resource that corrects misconceptions people hold about Jesus, and we'll discuss how we can introduce others to the real, the biblical, and life-changing Jesus. Bring your most challenging evangelism questions to the next edition in our conversation here on Equipped.
Listen live weekdays, 1 Eastern, noon Central on the Moody Radio app or equippedradio.org.